Love Talk Radio.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's flow. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
I'm asking the man in the mirror to change his ways. Every man has his secret sorrows, which the world knows not. And oftentimes we call a man cold when he is only sad. That's a quote from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Tonight I have a special guest joining me tonight. My special guest is Jim Hamilton. Jim Hamilton is an actor with 4-star casting and other casting and television industries, and he can be seen on several shows, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, movies, commercials. But Jim Hamilton is also a writer and a producer with an upcoming documentary on discussing and exploring the issues surrounding childhood trauma, PTSD, depression, and suicide. So I would like for all of you to take a moment and listen in, call in, and if you have any questions or concerns, welcome my guest, Jim Hamilton. Jim, you are live on the line.
Hey, how are you?
Just fine. I just want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on this In the Know with Mo Talk.
You're absolutely welcome, and you beat me to the punch. I want to thank you for allowing me this platform, because this is a platform that you and I both know it. This is a platform that needs to be built, and it needs to be listened to. It needs to be heard.
Yes, and the title is Shadow Work, Just Get Over It. So I'm going to let you do the disclaimers, Jim.
Yeah, a couple disclaimers. I am not a psychiatrist, obviously, although I could be with everything I've seen in my acting days. Nothing that we're going to talk about here, none of this is clinical. It's experiential, so please bear with Maureen and I, and let's look at, you know, some of the issues. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my story, if it's all right with you. I'd like to share just kind of where the state we are in right now regarding mental health in Illinois and the United States. It's a very, very sad situation.
Yes, it is. And you know what? And I just want to thank you because you are freely speaking on your experiences. And there are so many people that are tuned in across the nation. They may have the same feeling but don't know how to express it. So I'm pretty sure we may be able to save some lives just by listening and speaking of our experiences.
Yeah, thank you. Speak. One of the first comments that was posted, and we'll backtrack just a little bit here. Everything I've done since December 7th, 2015, up until this very moment, has been preparing me for this moment. And December 7th, 2015 was a very important day, because that was the day that I decided I had had enough. And that was the day that I ate 80 sleeping pills and drank a giant bottle of wine and basically kissed the world goodbye. Obviously, the universe has bigger plans. So I posted that along with the announcement of this on my Facebook page, my personal page, And the very first comment was from an amazing woman who I know, who's also an actor. The first sentence in her comment was, I got to tell you, you're so brave for saying this. And I don't want to hear that. You shouldn't have to be, you know, you shouldn't have to be patted on the back for being brave to talk about this. Talk about it. It's your feeling. It's your life. It's everything that you're going through. It's been so compartmentalized and shoved down for so many decades by those who are not experiencing it that people are afraid to talk about it. You're exactly right, Mom. You know, that's what people are. They're afraid to talk about it. Talk. If you can't talk to someone you know, talk to someone you don't know about it.
And I think they're afraid to talk about it, Jim, because they have a fear of rejection. Or somebody's going to categorize them as a loser.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, you know, because I talk to people all day. You know, God only gives you so many words a day, and I think I overuse. I use all my words up because
I use mine in a couple of years.
Yeah. The art of talk and communication is 80% or 90% of listening.
Yeah.
And we don't bother to listen. We hear with a response to ready to respond back and not
true.
Listening to the people.
Everybody's listening, not listening to what they're talking about, but waiting for their turn to talk. And it's difficult. First off, the root of much of, and again, not a psychiatrist, but the root, and this is what I've learned through my therapy, the root of unhappiness, the root of depression and anxiety comes from some form of childhood trauma, something that happened when you were a child. It also can come to you as an adult. There are people who've lived magical child lives and they get into their adult life and they meet a spouse and things go downhill. Well, there's adult trauma as well. Your feelings are absolutely valid. You can't let anybody take that away. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't care what anybody thinks about me. That was step one. What you think about you is important. What others think about you is none of your business. Okay,
yeah,
it's their opinion. So when you step away from that, when you divorce yourself of the attachment to being liked or being accepted, now you've opened up a whole new window to explore who you are, and that's what shadow work is. There are two definitions of shadow work, and the first is obviously it's exploring the deeper, the darker. It's exploring that side of you that you keep in the shadows, okay? The side that you're afraid to talk about, you know, and there, you know, Chinese proverbs say we all have three faces and, you know, there's this, but there's a side to every person that they don't share with anybody but themselves. Shadow work is the part, is the action of addressing them and acknowledging them and dealing with them. The other element of shadow work, and this is more of a universal and somewhat spiritual level, this is the moment, and when I read this, I fell off my chair because it was exactly dead on right. What happens in shadow work, when you put enough pressure on your soul that you're not living the soul's intent and doing it some other way, the soul will separate itself from you in order to protect itself. And that's what this is about. That's that empty feeling with people. You know, and you could see people when you look them in their eyes. And I'm going to post a picture up that I took about a month ago. I'm sorry, a month prior to when I tried to kill myself. You could see it in my eyes. I'm dead. My eyes are dead. And your soul has separated itself from your being in order to protect itself from the pain. So, and that's that empty feeling. And when I read that, I fell off my chair because it's exactly right. So the whole purpose of this is, go ahead.
During your time of depression, when you were trying to kill yourself, December 7th of 2015, were you active in the industry of acting at that time?
I didn't get involved in it. No.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get involved in it until roughly 2016, a little bit, but then 2017 is when I really got jamming. you know, and things really, you know, a couple of years ago, you talked about it, all the things, and everything just started clicking. And, you know, I say this, and I'll say it in the documentary, it's on my Facebook pages, I had to kill the part of me that was trying to kill all of me, you know, that part of me that no longer served a purpose, and I did. You know, I wouldn't recommend, please, anybody who's listening, don't go to the extent I did, okay? You don't want to go that route. But take the time and look at this and validate yourself. You're a universal being who's experiencing themselves as a human for this short period of time, 70, 80 years. You're absolutely valid. Don't let people tell you you're not. Those are the people that you need to flip the switch on and walk away from immediately. That's the energy that you can't be. Okay.
I have a question here from Sharon out of Cincinnati, Ohio. She wants
Sharon.
To know, Sharon is texting her message, and she wants to know, when you try to commit suicide, what caused you to want to do that? Because she's dealing with a lot of depression, and she's a cutter. She says she's a cutter. And she just wanted to know, what led you to want to take your life?
It was a series of things. And part of it had to do with I have a very good business, a very fulfilling business. I help people who are in need, but I had lost a major business partner, and my income went from, you know, $10,000-$15,000 a month down to next to nothing, and things just started spiraling. Yeah, things started spiraling. Naturally, what's our first thing? Let's medicate. So let's get some alcohol. Let's get some drugs. You know, let's medicate ourselves. That didn't help. That made it worse. And it just got darker and darker and darker. And finally, again, the soul separated itself and said, do what you got to do. You know, I have to protect myself. So, you know, Sharon, what happened was it was step by step by step by step. I kind of saw it coming, but didn't do, you know, I was trying to fight through the process. I was trying to get back. But it just got to the point where I said, no, I'm good.
Those of you that are listening, you can call in at 1-563-999-3585 and speak directly to Jim Hamilton, or you can do as Sharon, you can text or text your questions in. But I just want to let you know,
Sharon,
feel free to call in. I have one here from Joseph, who is calling also from Ohio. He has a 13-year-old son who's in seventh grade dealing with depression, and he has been bullied, and he's reading in the news how kids are committing suicide. His son is not listening to the show, but he wants to know what are some steps that he should take to help prevent.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to say thank you to two people who provided me with a lot of this data. And I'm going to have, Joseph, I want to get you in touch with Jill Tupper. She's actually in New Zealand, and thank you, Jill, for your help with this. Her daughter is the same age as your son and is going through the same thing. And here's where it's at. In New Zealand, there was, and I've spoken to her, at one point, they made her daughter apologize to the bullies. It's insane.
What?
So, yeah, it was crazy. And, you know, maybe you'll have her on an upcoming. But Joseph, the thing that I think would probably help, because Maureen, you've met me, you've seen me. I'm a decent sized guy. I'm 6 feet, 195 pounds now. I'm not somebody to jerk around with. When I was a kid, I was puny. I graduated high school 5'9", 120 pounds. I was the center of being picked on as well. So bullies are bad news. And, you know, your son might say, hey, don't confront this because it'll make it worse. Excuse me. My opinion on it is and not, I wouldn't do it through the school because that'll only make, it will make it worse in my opinion, but I would get the bully, the bully's parents and your son and sit down, not in an accusing finger pointing type of thing, but just in a manner of look, pardon me for saying this, but I would say, what's wrong with your son? What aren't you doing for your son that's causing him to bully mine? That's how I would look at it. It's not your son's fault by any means. So that, I think, is important that needs to be shared with him first and foremost. He's not the cause of this, and that's guilt comes into the whole bullying thing, and then obviously fear. So I would try to sit down with them. You know, I would try to sit down with the parents and the boy, and, you know, not in a threatening manner, but just say, look, you know, let's fix this thing. So it'll be a good lesson for everyone involved.
I have a question here from Stacy from Kansas. Stacy says, thank you for hosting the show on shadow work. Just get over it. She says this is the appropriate time to have it because it's a holiday and many people, especially singles, and I'm a single person, gets very depressed during this time. It's a struggle for me. I don't want to talk on the phone, but I just want to know if Mr. Hamilton has any suggestions on how to deal with the struggle of depression during the holiday.
And thank you for that question, Stacy. I appreciate it. That hits heart. You know, that hits right here too. I am just totally all day long scouring through ways of breaking through, ways of being better, things like that. And there's something that's very important. Until you can be comfortable with yourself, you'll never be comfortable with anybody else. And that is so true. You know, there's the quote, the man that is comfortable in solitude is part beast, you know, part dragon, you know, things are part warrior.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, it's true. Because depression is one thing. What are you missing out on? Identify what you feel that you're not getting. And if you can go get it, step up and go get it. But if you can't, take solace, and you have to be comfortable with and become friends with yourself before you're ever going to be able to address and approach any of these other issues, because they're the core of it.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. People are just not happy with themselves. And I, you know, I've been out here doing this background. So I'm a retired bilingual teacher. And I mean, I have had kids that would bully the kids, teachers that would try to bully me, which give me a break. And the principal, everybody's a bully. Everybody wants to do their own thing. But until you're happy with yourself, now that I'm doing this, four-star casting, television, whatever it is that I'm doing, I really enjoy it. But I've got bullies on the set. People
bully me. They're all over.
Haters. But they don't realize my haters are my motivators. So I'm the wrong
That's
person.
That's another way to use that.
Yeah. They have to
if you've ever seen me on set, when we get to holding and you check in, there's sometimes 200-300 people there. I'm the one who goes as far away from everybody as possible intentionally because there's that energy. So Stacy, part of it, the biggest part of it is get to know yourself. Until you're comfortable and happy with yourself, you're not going to be happy being alone. But here's the thing. I'm alone. I've never been married. I don't have kids. I live alone. I have 2 9-pound little terrorists running around here all day long, but I adopted them. I brought it on myself, but I'm totally happy. I can go a whole day without talking. And that's something, Stacy, maybe to aspire to. I know you can't believe that, but that's something to aspire to. Get yourself to a point where you're happy just being with you.
And you know what, that's true, because I am so happy being with myself. And when I go on set, I take my microphone with me because I do interviews there, you know. But then later on, I start to get this hate stuff. I said, my goodness. And but I open up my show for anybody because we have so much to talk about. But this depression and this trauma with the kids, and like you said, most of the time it starts when they are young because so many of these children don't have
parents. It starts in the home.
It's
in the home. It's either an absentee parent or something that those parents are doing to the child, which I'm sorry to interrupt. I was affected by that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So and let me share a little more a little info. And this Sarah Hands, thank you for this. You got this for me. Kids, teens, the suicide rate for kids is just phenomenal at this point. It's absolutely crazy. You know, obviously suicide right now is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Roughly 45,000 people a year take their lives, and it's basically, it's surrounding depression. But children 14 and up, 20 to 40% increase over the last few years in suicide. And you know, I'm not finger pointing and I'm not an expert, but I've got to think that some of this has to do with social media and online bullying as well. But, you know, just that whole, that's a fairy tale world, man. People are, you believe people's lives are that good? Come on. So, but it starts with the kids, you know, it starts at a young age and it's very difficult.
And you know,
even worse. Go ahead.
When I taught school, I retired in 2012. That class, I had three fifth graders that were 11 and 12 years old that were pregnant. Three fifth graders that were pregnant. Two of them were pregnant by the same 16-year-old boy.
Fifth graders?
You know, and fifth graders.
Oh, my goodness.
Fifth graders, three of them.
And that's,
and so it
wow.
turns out the new grandmother is like 30 years old. That's the new grandmother.
No. She's not even old enough to be a parent.
Exactly. You know, so the whole, it's the children are raising themselves. And so they, what do you do? The school can only do so much. Counselors don't do anything. Both places. I don't know if they all of them, some of them.
But is it the school's responsibility to raise a child and instill value in a child? I don't think so.
Well,
you know
what? I stayed in this one school for 34 years and then one school, and I end up, my last year, I spent approximately $5,000 of my own money on, I paid people's rent, I bought clothes, I bought food, I took them on trips, you know, because it was a situation that these kids were, I was calling kids to get up in the morning to come to school because their parents were not getting them ready, you know, so... It starts, like you said, it starts at home. It's childhood trauma.
Well, now imagine growing up with no coping mechanisms, with not being taught life skills. And that was my situation as well. You know, I'm just now at my age getting to the point where a normal, healthy 25-year-old should be. And I'm much older than that. And that's because I grew up with alcoholic parents, absentee father, you know, abuse in the home, things like that. That's what happens, you know, when you have those traumas. So a child that is going through, and back to Joseph, the bullying issue, you have to embrace your son. You have to let them know you're there for them and what, you know. Here, kids are smarter than we give them credit for being. Ask your son what you can do for him. You know, how can you help him?
Yeah, and Joe, I hope you're listening because that was one of the questions I wanted to ask him. How active and involved are you with your son? You know, we can say my son is going through this here, but are you in the home or are you active with him or
are you part of
the weekend conversation?
Yeah, and that's what I had with my dad. My dad, my relationship with him was Wednesday, 8:15 to 8:45 phone call. Sunday, 6 p.m. phone call. One weekend, 1 week out of the summer, and then Christmas and my birthday. That was my relationship growing up. So it was rough. So you have to be an engaged parent. Mm-hmm. A lot of the answers can come from just being present. You know, I know that's kind of used a lot, but and that works as well with you as an individual, Sharon, Stacy. Be present in your present moment. Anxiety comes from either living in the past and reliving trauma, or looking to the future and setting an expectation for what you hope that it's going to be. And that creates that anxiety. You have to put yourself right into the moment. And I've learned that over the last 6 months. I am so calm, so happy, although some people who know me would be like, yeah, right. But I'm completely comfortable in the moment. If I don't enjoy the moment, I'm going to say something, but I'm not worried about tomorrow. That's if we want to talk a little bit about anxiety, stop worrying about tomorrow. It hasn't gotten here yet, and 99% of what you're thinking is going to happen won't happen. It never has. And that's what drove me to what I did. You know, the depression as well as the anxiety, I was literally living, you know, every few days I'd have a little bit of money to pay for, and it got so bad, I was living in a motel room. Okay. It got that bad. So, and those guys don't jerk around, man. You don't have your daily rent for, you know, tomorrow. You got to go. You know, they don't give you a couple days to pick up the money. So there was that stress and all that, and it just frayed my brain. So, you know, it's these are all things, and I welcome people to reach out to me also, because I'm going to structure this documentary not only to be informational, but I want it to be interactive. I want people to be part of it, to be on screen and share their stories. And, you know, I want people to heal. That's obviously what I'm here to do. You know, finally it's come full circle. So
here's a text from Beth. Beth is from Chicago. She says, thanks, Mo. And hello to Jim. She says, Jim, I've worked with you on the set. And I don't know what Beth's real name is.
Yeah, right. That's fine.
She says, thank you for sharing the story. And she said, next time she sees you on the set sitting far away, she is going to come and embrace you. And
be careful
fine,
with that.
All...
Be careful with that. I don't like being touched. I also have that. Anybody who knows me, I joke about it, but I always under my breath, I'm like, I don't like you. Get away from me. I hate people. But I'm just so comfortable with myself, and that's why I'm still single, that your biggest challenge isn't any other woman. It's making your time with me more comfortable and enjoyable than my time alone. And that's where you need to get, Sharon, Stacy, Beth, everybody. You all need to get to that point that your time alone is so enjoyable that you're not worried about other people. But
now,
thank you for that comment.
And that's Beth. Beth, thank you for all of you, Joseph, Stacy.
Yep, thank you, everyone.
All of you for calling, for texting in. Your and I ran into Tracy today in the store. She said she is looking forward to be in your documentary because she said she has something she wants to talk about. Yeah. So, I mean, this is just, when I walked into the store today, people said, oh, I'm tuning in tonight. I'm tuning in. And I saw Tracy, and she said, oh, I want to be, I told him I want to be, say something in this documentary. My question is, Shadow Work, the title, Just Get Over.
Yep.
How did you come up with that title?
I found a meme. And it's on my Facebook page, my Shadow Work 2020 Facebook page, that explained what shadow work was. And I'm like, holy crap. I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm like, this is exactly what I went through. And at that point, I kind of knew, you know what, it's time to do something about this. And it's just it has to be titled that. You know, because it's what it is. You're either dealing with the fact that your soul has left you to heal, you know, to do your thing and not injure it anymore, or you're dealing with all the dark things, all the things that are in your shadow. And those are your traumas, your childhood traumas, your adult traumas, your coping mechanisms, your self-medicating tools, things like that. So I think it fits, doesn't it? What do you think?
Yeah. And so the bottom part is, says just get over it. So the question is, how do you just get over your depression? I mean, there's counseling. There's, you know, people say you go to church. I go to church. I sing in the church. And I do a lot of talking and listening in the church to other people. I'm filing things. And sometimes I come home and I lay in my bed. And my daughter said, "Mom, you've been in the bed all day. Are you depressed?" And I told him, "I'm not depressed, but I'm resting.
Just relaxing."
You know?
Yeah. The just get over it part is tongue in cheek. Because whenever you talk to somebody and you know, they say, "What's wrong? You depressed?" You're like, "Yeah." What is their first response? "Come on, man. Just get over it." You know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Depression is an illness. It's not an emotion. And it needs to be identified and treated like that. I'll say it again. Depression is an illness, not an emotion. When somebody treats you and you telling them that you're depressed, when they treat it like it's an emotion, please, everybody listening, stop them dead in their tracks and tell them, hey, this isn't, I'm not angry. It's not an emotion, man. This is a real thing. I'm a big proponent on not medicating. When I was in the hospital, they put me on Adderall. When I first got to the psych ward, I spent 5 days in the hospital, by the way, for that little 80 sleeping pill trip. I also enjoyed a 48-hour hallucination that was out of this world. But what happened was when you get to the psychiatric part of it, or if you go see a psychiatrist or go to therapy or go to a doctor, they're probably going to say, "Well, let's get you on Adderall. Here's the thing about Adderall." And the doctor said, "I'm only going to give this to you once. Here's why. This is as hard of a drug as meth. It's as addictive as meth. And anybody who's taken it and who's had a prescription for it will tell you it's an addictive opiate." So we went with Lexapro, and that even screwed up my head. So I'm not a big proponent on medicating. I'm a bigger proponent on self-evaluation. And for everyone listening, you know, depression, I have said it 20 times already, but again, it's an illness. Treat it as such, and either do your own research or go reach out to group therapy or something like that and deal with it in that way. But the biggest, most important way to do it is to reflect inside, and that's doing your shadow work. Do that and come to terms with things. You know, I used to, and I'm embarrassed about it a little bit, but I don't care. For 30 years, I screwed up. I never paid my bills. I went from one lease to another lease. And 2 months ago, I was sitting there, and it was as I was coming to terms with the whole shadow work thing, I'm like, wait a minute, childhood trauma. The reason why I used to just throw my bills in the garbage and whatnot goes back to when we were kids. My mom used to come home drunk at 2 or 3 in the morning and pull out all the bills. We were 6, 7 years old, and pull out all the bills and show us how much it cost her for us, and then engage in a little bit of physical abuse. So that childhood trauma triggered 30 years of me being irresponsible financially. So once I identified that, boom, I get a bill. It doesn't even go on. It goes down to the desk and gets paid now. So it's, you know, it's a funny example, but this is what you're dealing with. There's a trigger for every emotion you're feeling. Some are good triggers, some are bad. You know, the ones that are triggering your depression, dig deep into those. You have to be willing to fight your way into that to get to the root of it. Why? What happened here?
But do you realize your mother was depressed? She was depressed, too. That's why she was drinking. That's why the abuse. You know, it's hard being a parent. And
there's a trauma underneath that, Mo. There is a trauma. There's some form of trauma, physical, emotional, or mental trauma underneath that that's causing that depression. Okay? And, you know, your brain stores that trauma, and it lays there dormant. You go to the store, like, how are you with loud noises? Are you okay? You know, do you like loud noises? Nobody does.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good with that,
Yeah. See, there's a mechanism in your head that stored something that happened, that anytime this event, current event occurs, it triggers that trauma. And the dopamine in your brain kicks in, and it either kicks in positively or negatively. You either skyrocket to anxiety, or skyrocket to happy, or skyrocket to depression, something.
It's amazing. So you had to kill the part of me that was no longer useful. That part was trying to kill all of me, and I did. I mean, that's
sure
very deep. Yeah.
Thank you. It's the truth.
That is, yeah. So you're
and there's go ahead.
Your documentary, when will you start working on that? And also, are you going to how are you going to do your actors' auditions? Or because there have to be people that are for real, you know.
And that's that. Thank
acting.
You for bringing that up. There's no auditions for this.
Yeah.
And this is why I chose a documentary versus, you know, writing a story, you know, or a short film or something. I want to do something that's real, and this is going to focus predominantly on causes and things like that, and real people. But I'm also going to challenge. I'm trying to get a sit down with Mayor Lightfoot. I want to sit on. She one of her tent poles of her campaign was addressing this issue. Cook County Jail right now has roughly 6,000 inmates.
Yeah,
one third have been diagnosed with mental illness. Many of those were transferred from actual mental health care facilities that were shut down as a result of what Governor Quinn did back in 2009 and 12, because they had to shut down. They sent them to Cook County. So you've got people in there, nonviolent, not even offenders, living amongst murderers and whatnot, and dealing with their emotional issues. But, you know, it's going to deal with that. I also want to profile adults and teens, hopefully teens from the LGBTQT community. That suicide rate has skyrocketed as well.
Yes.
And even bigger are first responders. And again, thank you, Sarah. Sarah has invited me into her world. She does a podcast like this, and it's a lot of first responders are part of that, and their suicide rates are crazy right now. Last year, 243 first responders committed suicide in the United States. In Illinois, it's up 24% from 92 last year to 114 already this year. So, you know, these are people who came and helped me, you know. These are people that see this kind of stuff all day long. They see the absolute worst of what society has to offer. So they need, and they're carrying weapons. They need, you know, to have mental wellness availability all the time. You know, imagine going out watching someone. I told a story to Sarah yesterday, and she was like, "Well, you know, it was just bad." They see the absolute worst of people. You know, they see people killing people on the street, and you know, they need it as well too. So,
I had spoken earlier because I go to the Cook County Jail every year. During Christmas, every Christmas morning, I go there. I've been doing it for the past 15 years. And I interact. I go down there with Reverend Jackson and some of the other elected officials. And we go down there and we interact. We interact with the inmates, the men and the women there. And they ask you, can you just come and pray with me, or can I pray? Or, you know, so I'm in the midst with them. I'm not behind the bars. We're in a gym. And they are so depressed. And I have never witnessed so many men and women that are cutting themselves. This is something new. I'm going to have to do a show on cutting, because they're cutting themselves not to commit suicide, but just to hurt themselves a little.
Yeah, there's something deep in there where they're not feeling, and I've learned about the whole cutting thing and self-mutilation and self-injury. There's something beneath the layers of pain that they're trying to injure by cutting themselves. Or they're trying to equalize the fact that they don't feel worthy as themselves by injuring themselves.
Wow.
So, yeah, that would be a great topic.
She says she's a cutter. She's a cutter. She says, I'm glad that you're addressing this. You know, I don't understand the cutting thing. I'm allergic to handcuffs, you know, because I have an action here in the street. You know, I help people in and out of jail and whatever. I'm allergic to handcuffs. I don't want to hurt nothing on me. But in the Cook County Jail, with so many facilities being closed for mental health, the Cook County Jail is the next mental health facility.
Here's the thing about that. Thank you for that.
And I could see a need for you to speak with the mayor on this issue, because you're closing out all the mental health facilities. And so what people are doing, they're going to jail. Well, I'm going to go to jail because I'm going to get some services.
What happened was, again, between 2009 and 2012, Quinn slashed almost $114 million from the budget that was earmarked for mental health care. What that did, and I did speak to somebody yesterday anonymously, who told me that as a result of that, and Thresholds is a pretty substantial organization. They're only now taking patients who are veterans or who have substance abuse issues. No other intake. And as a result of those funding cuts, it basically wiped out 100% of all these smaller agencies, all the, you know, the little places, because they weren't that $113 million. Maybe they were getting $500,000 to operate for the year. That's great. They could take care of 20 or 30 people through the course of the year. Well, that money's gone now. So, and they can't discuss it either. This is the kicker. She cannot discuss the programs that were cut or any reasons for it, because they might come back. And the good news, at least in Illinois, is Pritzker has in his budget on his desk for 2020, there's an increase of $88 million for mental well-being. So
now
that's good.
Now, he would be
hopefully
someone to talk to, too. Now, he would be someone, Jim, to talk with, have an audience.
Yeah,
with,
I mean,
because we're talking about these big legislators.
That's what I'm thinking also, you know, that we need to drive this to legislation. And believe me, you know me, I'm not afraid to get in anybody's face, you know, and I'm not to fight or anything, but look, you either do it right or you get eliminated, and it's simple.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Help me with that, please. Let's do it. Let's join forces. I'm all in.
Yeah, I
think you might have just secured yourself a spot in my documentary, so.
I'm so excited. And I have a lady coming on my show Tuesday night, Martise Chisholm. She is an advocate for Medicare for All. And this is one of the questions that we're going to be talking about the mental health facility. And because even though you mentioned about the veterans and people with substance abuses, a lot of veterans still are not being sane. You know, they have a pick and choose of who they want to see and don't want to see.
Oh, it's based on insurance and whatnot. I've been fortunate to have Blue Cross Blue Shield family through affordable health care. Do you know that if you check into a hospital, whether you're taken by the police, by an ambulance, like I was, or walk in and say, look, I'm feeling like I want to kill myself, here's how it works. You're taken in, they'll give you a sedative, then they'll have a doctor evaluate you the next morning and maybe try a scope of medication on you, but they can only keep you for 5 days.
Yeah.
Legally, under the law, they can only keep you there for 5 days. And it's generally in, and I had an episode before the big one where I went to Weiss Memorial. And there were 20, 30 other people there. So you had your bed, you know, with 20 other people in the room, and you had a day room, and they would do little, you know, self-help programs, but there was no substance to getting to the bottom of and helping you overcome what you're dealing with. I want to use this vehicle, this documentary, as a battering ram to force, you know, legislation to push this through, to get it going, and to wake society up. You need to wake up, people. You know, you're doing the wrong thing here by looking at this. You know, snap out of it is what I used to hear. Come on, snap out of it. Let me buy you a drink.
Get over it. Snap out, right. And this is a great
dude, it's
time.
Not an emotion. It's an illness.
It's
mental.
It's an illness. And this is the proper time to address this with the legislators and the elected officials, because this is a presidential year coming up. And so I've asked Martise Chisholm to come and be on my show on Tuesday night so we can talk about Medicare for All and what's all included, because she is going to be one of the people at the presidential debate on the 19th. So I have some questions. And so the questions need to be, and the other people have questions. So you're talking about Medicare for All. What does that consist of? You see what I'm saying?
And who is the all? Who's the all?
Exactly. Who is the all? Who is the all?
Right.
And people need to understand, even though we've been talking about it, depression has no certain age, and it's not an age related, it's not a race related, and it's not a social economic level. You know, poor, black, white, green, yellow,
it doesn't care.
Old,
depression
young,
doesn't care.
It doesn't care. It's an illness. Like violence is an illness. It has no age. It has no target. You know, it's just out here. But depression is real. And during the holiday season, we find so many people that are so depressed because they don't have a loved one. I don't have no loved one either, but I'm not depressed.
Right.
I'm a handful for somebody.
And that's good for you. But if you're looking across the table and that it's not working for that person that you're looking at, you know, at least with me, I would have to get up and go talk, you know. And I you know, I hate that. This is the thing. Depression has been capitalized, and here's what I mean. When I say this, you're going to see the commercial in your head. Depression is the silent killer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it
well,
is.
Well, who set that? Who created that? Big Pharma created that. Because right after they say that, they're pumping some sort of new chemical. Hey, go see your doctor and get this or get that. It's been capitalized. We're talking about $5 trillion in funding across the country over the last few years that has been cut from the budget. So not only do you have to self-identify your problem, but now you got to find somewhere where you can go get help, and those places are almost non-existent.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is, if I could describe it, if it's okay, this is going to be kind of like the Morgan Spurlock Supersize Me of the healthcare industry type of documentary. So you know me, I'm a smart aleck. So you know, I'm gonna piss a lot of people off, and I hope that everyone listening right now wants to be part of a movement and it's time to start demanding. Look, you want to sit at that desk? You want to call yourself a politician? You better start working for your constituents, because they're not.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And this is what they don't do. You know, I've been elected to, I'm a double elected official out here since 1996, and I work for my constituents.
That's awesome.
You know, I make a point not to work in the industry, especially on the days I have council meetings. But, you know, I have people, they elected me for a reason. And I read everything, and I'm their spokesperson. Some of them like me, some of them don't, but the bottom line is to get things done.
What?
So if anyone that's listening to you that is interested in being part of your documentary, is there a way that they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can do it a couple ways. Obviously, you can jump into my Facebook page and message me there. It's facebook.com/shadowwork2020/. And that would probably be the easiest way, but here's an email if you want to reach out to me as well. Very simple, very straightforward. shadowworkdocumentary2020@gmail.com.
And that's all one word.
One big old long word. Trust me, I wanted to just have shadow work, and that didn't work. So I put shadow work 2020. It took me 10 minutes just to get an email address for it. So, yeah, shadowworkdocumentary2020.
Dot what? Com?
No. shadowwork2020@gmail.com.
Oh, at Gmail. Okay.
Yeah, that's the email. And then Facebook is obviously facebook.com/shadowwork2020/.
Okay.
Jump in, comment, join, follow this. Right now, I'm going to be doing some more research. I think we're probably a month away from starting to meet with people. I am going to do a GoFundMe page, as much as I hate, and you know, you see it all the time because you're in all the other groups with me. People with the GoFundMe page, they don't have a single frame. They don't have a single frame of content shot, and they're looking for money. This is a little different, you know, and this is why I'm doing your show and I'm doing others. So it has credibility, but I'm going to do a GoFundMe page so we can actually come out and meet you in Kansas City and meet you in Cincinnati and meet you everywhere else. So, and talk with you and get your story.
Yeah, because, depression and suicide, it's for real, it's nationwide. And I want to give out this National Suicide Prevention Lifeline phone number for
Thank
those.
Thank you. I was going to do that. Yeah. Do you have that?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, go
ahead. Yes, I do.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you give out yours. I think we have different numbers.
Okay,
so
I have 1-800-273-8255.
You have the right one, and you can on that one. You can also text "hello" to 741-741, and someone will talk to you.
Yeah.
I also have a number for grief, for people who are grieving, and the grief would be more the depression. If you would like that, if it's okay, I'd like to give that number up.
Yes. Yes.
That's 1-800-445-4808. You can also text them. You text CARE, care, just one word, care, 839-863. And somebody will respond to that. Also, there's a really nice meme on my Shadow Work 2020 Facebook page that has these numbers and a whole bunch of other more.
Okay.
So you can grab that, or Maureen, I can send it to you via Messenger right now if you'd like.
Okay. And I just want those that are listening, you can share this broadcast, because your broadcast will be archived forever. People can go back, go on Blog Talk and click it. They can share it. You can email it. And all the information that was just disseminated here is here for you. So I just want
That's a sad credit.
I mean, yes, it is.
Don't say that word. We're all hiding. All of us who are SAG eligible are hiding from SAG, so we never say the word.
Yes. So I just want to take this time to thank you, Jim, for being a guest on In the Know with Mo, Mo Talking, as I mentioned.
I can't thank you enough. Thank you enough. Thank you.
And I want to thank
I'm here
all
anytime.
Of the listeners. And
absolutely,
my door
everyone.
Is always open. Anytime you want to come back on, just hit me up, and, you know, I will make
sure.
time for you, because we have so much. It's a lot of work out here that we have to do. There's a lot. And we talk about mental illness. We talk about, I mean, all of this is it's an illness. And we have
it
allowed
is.
Our elected officials, our mayors, our governors to take so much
to
away.
Capitalize it.
Exactly.
They've capitalized it and turned it into emotion that they can use in their campaigns. You know, and we really need to press Mayor Lightfoot, okay, because it was a big part of her. She was big on the whole mental health thing. And the whole issue regarding Cook County Jail, that was big. There were all kinds of things. So let's team up and push on her.
And I'm going to be with her on Christmas morning at the Cook County Jail. I'm going to mention this.
Oh, great.
I'm going to give her this link so she can listen to it, because I will be down at Cook County Jail for the half of for that morning with the inmates.
Yeah.
You know,
let's
because
do
mental
that.
Illness.
If there's an extra space, I'll come and join you.
Well, I will get the information on how you can come down, because they do background checks, but I will get the information to you.
No problem. Absolutely.
Because it's something.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you, and I want to thank all
thank
the
you.
Listeners from Ohio,
thank
Kansas,
you everyone.
Oklahoma. Oh, I didn't even see this. Chicago, Dakota. Dakota, thank you for tuning
wow.
in to
thank
In
you.
The Know with Mo. And I want to
reach
thank my special
anytime.
Guest. I sure will. And thank you again. And until we meet again, stay focused and be blessed. You have been listening to In the Know with Mo Talk with my special guest, Jim Hamilton, who's going to be working on an upcoming documentary called Shadow Work. Just get over it. Just get over it. So, you know, it's his documentary is going to be discussing and exploring the issues surrounding childhood trauma and PTSD and others. There will be haters. There will be doubters. There will be non-believers, and then there will be you. You know what? Prove them wrong. You've been listening to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Have a good evening.